Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome to another exciting episode of Psychology Talks. And as usual, in this episode also, we'll talk about that how our human mind works when we talk about profits and when corporate world talks about profits. But in general, as corporate world is racing against creating more profits, there is something more important which can help the corporate world to create more benefits, more rewards, and more impact beyond profits. So we will discuss that how in today's competitive world you can look beyond financial gains and create a true impact. And that's why we are honored to have Matt George with us to discuss this topic in detail. He is a dynamic leader at the forefront of driving positive change through his multifaceted roles as president of Employee Insight, Harvard Business School Executive Suite, Executive Leadership Coach, author, keynote speaker, and TV host. Matt is known as a prophet of nonprofits. And today we will discuss how we can create impact beyond profit. So let's welcome Matt. Welcome, Matt. Thank you for joining us today.
Ambreen, thank you. I'm excited to be here, and I love the topic, as you know.
Yeah, I know. When I was actually researching about your profile, and I'm truly inspired the way you have transformed business and by just thinking beyond profit. You know, like most of the time people are stuck where they just focus more on making profit and they forget that they can create more impact and even more profit by not chasing the profit. So I was so excited to actually to discuss this in detail about this topic. So I actually gave a very brief introduction about you that I know, like, you are an author and a keynote speaker and, like, you know, you have a very wide, diverse profile. But tell us a bit more about your background, that why you chose this particular field and how you came into this particular field.
Well, again, thank you. I'm a 30-year CEO in the nonprofit world. And so I ran large children's homes. I worked with people in need my whole career. And when you have a team of 500 people, and we had 1,700 kids a month that flowed through the agency, we had 54 programs that dealt with abuse and autism and education and behavioral health, and the list goes on. When you see all of those different pains throughout your career, it changes your life, and it changes your life as a parent. I've got 5 kids, but it also changes your life seeing the struggles of people. And so I've really just kind of dedicated my whole life. I stepped down about almost 2 years ago because I felt like I wanted to do more. I was making change. My team was making change. They still continue to make change. But what does change mean? And then what are we here on earth for? We're here to, in my opinion, take care of communities. We're here to take care of the people next to you, take care of the kids, and so on. And so it's an honor. So I decided to write books and get the word out. And I decided to talk to as many people as I can. I went on a very long tour. I went on a 61 city tour across the United States. And I want to take it global because, the charge was to go into communities and say a couple different things. Number one, you can make change. And I know even if you're on a board or a volunteer or donate money, whatever the reason is, there's more that you can do, but you may not know. So let's talk about it. The other charge that I like to talk about is we need to get more people into helping people. And so a lot of these kids that are coming up coming through college and getting into whatever business they might be. It's all great, but at the same time, we're lacking in certain spots like education, nursing, therapy, and the list goes on. And so I wanted to hit the road and see how we can improve our world and how we can collaborate together to actually get to the point of living in a safer world and a world where we can actually visibly see change for the positive.
Wow, what a, I mean, noble cause. And very few people are driven with this motivation to actually change the world, to bring about the change in the world and to help people. But as like, I was also like researching about your profile and something. So, you know, like you have even written in your books that in order to survive, we also need some revenues. And that's the beauty of your message that, you know, when we actually create impact, when we help people somehow, like we attract abundance as well, right? So what is the basically your formula of working? Like, you know, creating impact is, I think, is a buzzword also these days that everybody wants to create a impact. Yet a lot of people don't know how to create it. And those even who are driven with the, like, you know, altruistic motivation, they need to survive also. And that was that is what exactly you also speak about, that, you know, how to actually have sustainable income also to where you can help and then also you can grow. So what are your thoughts on?
Yeah. So in my, I wrote a book a few years ago called Nonprofit Game Plan. And what I talk about in that book is that a lot of people that run nonprofits, they look at it from the mission standpoint. And I truly believe that's great. And we need those people, but it's also a business. And so you have to run, in my opinion, you have to run all of these programs like a business. And therefore, if you do run them like a business and you understand that the relationship piece is important, the people piece is important, the mission is important, but at the same time, so is revenue. And that revenue is what drives the ability to actually take that mission to the next level. And I think that's the most important thing. And so it takes a strategy, it takes a vision, and it takes processes to be put in place to be able to understand that you need a team of people that care, obviously.
Yeah.
So you have to have the passion, but you also have to have the compassion. And then you have to run it like a business. And those two things don't always come together. You know, a lot of times, if you, as you know, you've interviewed so many great people, but a lot of times people who run nonprofits, as an example, just get up each day, they put their mission hat on, and then they go do the work. And that's great. But at the same time, you need to understand that if the money's not there, then the mission won't be there as long either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So what are your strategies to help sustain these companies or nonprofit organizations who are basically driven by this altruistic motivation?
Yeah, I think the first strategy is to not take on too much. I think a lot of people have a lot of great ideas. That's obvious. But that actually can cripple you too in being able to scale your business or to scale your nonprofit. So if you're chasing dollars with 10 ideas that you have, it's probably not the most productive thing to do. The other piece, though, is I truly believe the most, the biggest word that is not very clear is collaboration. Now, here's what I mean by that. You hear it all the time. You hear people say, you need to collaborate or we should collaborate on this project. But everybody has their own definition of collaboration, right? Yeah. So you need to define what collaboration means. Because if we can work together, then we can accomplish more. And a lot of times in nonprofit work, and this goes for for-profit too, but in nonprofit work, you'll sit here and you'll say, you know, this is my area. We've been here 50 years. Don't play in my sandbox. and we are the best at it. And I push back and I'll say, are you the best at it? You know, is somebody on the road, maybe they could help you become best in class. And a lot of times we forget why we're doing what we're doing, right? We're doing to make our community better. We're doing, my motto is change lives and save lives. I say it every day. So our goal is to change lives and save lives, right?
Wow. Yeah.
You do it by yourself. And the answer is typically no. And so once you understand that it takes a whole army of people to get together, to be on the same page, to put together the strategy and the processes, it's a whole lot easier with a lot of different minds and mindsets if you have good leadership. So the next piece is leadership. You have to have a good leader. And it's important.
Yeah, I mean, it's you highlighted a very important point here, like especially the collaboration, right? So finding the right people to collaborate is also a big challenge. So what are your like advice or suggestions to find the right one who share the same mission and who share the same values as you?
Well, let me give you an example. In the United States, there's 17,000 charities, 501c3s, related to pets. Do we need 17,000 pet charities? Now, I'm not saying there's not good ones. There's a lot of great pet charities out there related to pets. But how do you know that that person down the street that's doing the same thing is doing a better job? Or how do you know what they're doing? How do you know where to give your money? How do you know what their mission is without actually talking? And a lot of times what will happen is, you can use that example or you can talk about kids. A real life example for me was, in my hometown, we had 7 different after school programs. And the question is, do you really need 7 different after school programs, or should we have 1 or 2 great programs? And so I sat down with other CEOs and we sat down and said, how can we do a better job of making sure we're providing the right thing for our clients and for the community? And it's really just kind of taking a step back and not wanting the pat on the back. And I think it's very important. Leave the ego at the door and do what's right for your community.
Yeah. So I think what I got from your discussion or this advice is that we need to keep looking for the right one. And like, for example, to keep the radar on that, which communities are, or which these agencies or maybe like people are doing what kind of work. And then we should be able to proactively approach them to see that how we can collaborate, right? Is that the way, right? Summarize right?
You summarized it perfectly. You need to know, what are their outcomes? What are their deliverables? Yeah. What impact am I making with this program? Are we saving 10 kids' lives or 10 families' lives? Or are we helping this family over here? Or are we helping 300? And if we're helping 300, are we doing what we're saying we're doing? And so there's this ethical responsibility we have in this space, no matter whether it's for profit or nonprofit. There's that ethical piece that plays into all of this. And how, again, I tell everybody, please take a step back and make sure that this is the right thing to do. That's where the mission piece comes in. Because once you understand that piece, then you turn it into the business. And then the business will drive the mission. And so over time, what will happen is you can start seeing the needs. So every community has different assessments. They have different needs assessments. So it could be obesity, or it could be abuse, or it could be education test scores are down, whatever they are. And so what you have to do is you have to sit there, find your sweet spot of whatever that topic is. I'm going to put a program together for improving test scores. So how do I do that? Who are the best in this community that are doing that? How can I help them? Maybe they've already done most of the legwork, or maybe they already have history, or maybe they already have the revenue streams, and then work with them to be able to make the change. Because I think, Ambreen, a lot of times the bottom line is people forget why you're in the business. Again, you're in the business to make people, give them opportunities, and make your community better.
Yeah, that's very true, which actually leads me to another question, which is actually what makes a business or traditional business different from a nonprofit one? Like, as you mentioned, that at the end, we are serving people, right? Be it, let's say, a consumer product company or the electronic company. At the end, we're serving people. So what do you think, what makes it different, a traditional, non-traditional, or nonprofit business?
Well, I think if you look at just the financials, I don't think it's any different. I think you're going to look at it and say, okay, revenue's here, expenses are here. Yeah. We're putting X amount towards marketing and HR and whatever it may be. I think when you look at the scope of the for-profit, and let's take an example of selling tennis shoes as an example. A sporting goods store has one goal. They need to sell. Over here, the goal for the after-school program is to get kids to break the habits of not studying. So they need to study to go to college or whatever the goal is, or go do the trades and to eventually become productive taxpaying citizens. The goals are the same. They're not the exact same, but you have a goal here, goal over here. And then what you're trying to do is over on this side, on the for-profit side, if you don't hit your goal, you just go to the next day. You go home, you go to bed, you get up, you try to sell more. But over here, it's life-changing. And so You get some of the programs to where when they relate to homelessness or they relate to violence, and this over here could be life or death. Selling an extra pair of Air Jordans over here is not life or death. It's just that you need to sell. To me, that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, I think that's you explained it really well, that, you know, it's basically the difference between, I think, the product or the service itself instead of the strategy or the business itself. So that's really good. So I want to ask that, since you had the experience of more than 30 years in this, so what basically you've seen, that what are the main obstacles or challenges people face, especially when it comes to generate revenue or when it comes to sustainability, I mean, in any business?
Yeah, that's probably one of your best questions of the day, right? Sustainability. How can you sit here and make sure that the business is going to be there 3, 6, 10 years down the road? It's a great question. And the part of it is that's where the business piece comes into play. The strategy and the vision is just as important in a nonprofit or social programs as it is for a for-profit. That's the one piece. But this is where money comes into play and revenue really comes into play. So, and a lot of times nonprofits, they'll need to do not only look at what the revenue is to cover the programs, they'll also have to add a component of fundraising or grant writing or whatever it may be. I'm going to have to do some additional dollars to come in. And that's where leadership comes into play, because it's no different than buying a stock like Google and then a stock that's at $4, right? You're going to invest in Google before you're going to invest into the $4 stock typically. Well, that's no different than a nonprofit. If I'm going to invest into a nonprofit, I want to invest into the Google of taking care of homelessness or the Google of taking care of whatever it may be. And I think that comes down to leadership. It comes down to actually having a vision and a strategy and then being able to implement it and then having the team around you to cascade that vision to be able to understand. Now you're building this team that this is a business, even though we're in the business of taking care of the homeless. So we have to understand there's a mission play here. If we don't have the money, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, So what I think, like, you know, we need to have some collaboration with big giants or the companies to be able to raise funds to be, again, to be able to survive, right?
Right. And yeah. That, but think about this. Think about the biggest companies in the world that are for profit. What is their, it's branding, right? Exactly. So you take Nike, you take Apple, you take Starbucks, whatever the brand is, those brands are what we strive over here to become, right? So if people see us as a strong brand, our marketing is strong, our financials are strong, our outcomes are strong, and our programs are strong, people will invest in us. If they see that our leadership is weak, if they see that we have a logo on the front with a hole in our sign and our logo is not changed since 1990, then people are going to question the leadership of the business or the board. And so you have to, that goes back to my point of running it like a business. You have to sit here and understand all aspects, and the brand piece is very, very important.
Yeah. So even as a non-profit organization, one needs to think of themselves as a brand that they need to create a kind of a, I would say, the personal brand or any like brand where like they can gain trust, not only from the audience, but also when they actually go to any corporate or to any giant company, so they can also have trust. So I think that's a very valid point. And I personally see that it also, as you mentioned, that there's a need for the leadership. And I would say that, again, the leadership would come from the vision. I think if they don't have the vision or the purpose, a solid purpose, then it would lead them nowhere. So now, again, I would just ask you that, how to create that compelling vision, how to create that a vision that actually attract the audience and create trust.
Well, it's two things. I'm going to go back to what you brought up, something great in that question at the very beginning. You talked about the brand of the company and the brand of the leader. Both are important. So where I was at for a long time, the brand, it had 150 some years of longevity. We were the community leader in taking care of children. We were one of the largest, we were the largest employer of a nonprofit in our town. So we had all of these things. That's part of the actual business. But then it was my job to actually sit here and assess the climate of our community and sit there and say, okay, for this business over here to take that next step, I'm going to have to take my brand, elevate my brand for the sake of the entity, right? And so they had to go down the same paths at the same time. And so I would give you some examples. I would appear at other nonprofits. I would help other people raise money. I would speak on behalf of the community all of the time. I would work with the local police departments and fire departments and leaders and politicians to be able to make positive change. That was the personal brand. So that's what I was known for. And at the same time, the business actually benefits from the personal brand of the leader. So it's really no different than the for-profit. Think of the for-profits that you know that are brands, let's just say global brands, and who are those CEOs or who are those founders? And everyone here can picture certain people, but there's also the personal brand and then the brand like Apple is an example. People think of Steve Jobs. So there's that personal brand. Microsoft, Bill Gates, you know, you can go down Howard Schultz, Starbucks, you just keep going down the list. And, you know, that's what has to happen. A lot of times the leader, if they're not an energetic leader, or if they're not a leader with a vision, or if they are sitting here with the mission first mentality, a lot of times it can get them in trouble where the sustainability piece becomes an issue every year. The best nonprofits in the world have a long-term plan, have endowments, have so many different stopgaps to be get best in class. And that best in class has to do with sustainability. And so they have a plan, and it's typically puts them on a different level than other nonprofits.
Yeah, that's amazing. What I feel is because when I look at things, I usually don't see things as like a business or the person or the life. And I usually think that, you know, it all stems or it all is driven from the purpose. Like, you know, you need to know exactly, you need to have a clear vision, clear purpose that what exactly you want from either from business, from life or anything. So I think that comes down from this. So I actually want to ask that since like you've been in like for 3 decades, you've seen how the business landscape has changed. So what are your views on that how the business landscape has changed, how it has evolved, and what do you see as a future prospect of especially nonprofit, so it's like entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I'm going to try not to get political, but political does play into some of the causes being either elevated or being put down. And let me give you some examples. If you look at a region or a state, for example, if there's new leadership or a new governor or a new mayor or something like that, and they come in, they could change the initiatives and change what the focus is, which therefore would actually direct dollars to other nonprofits. Now, that does happen. There's also that from a bigger level, for it could be presidents of countries. And so what their beliefs or their party's beliefs, those also dictate. But at the same time, a lot of times what happens is those needs, the core needs don't really change. We know that poverty's not going away. We know mental health issues are not going away. We know every country has food deserts and problems with, there's food inequities everywhere. We know that there's homelessness, and we also know there's violence. So out of those 5 things, those things are always going to be a part of our landscape. I don't see them going away. But what happens is take the biggest initiative there is, poverty.
Yeah.
It's not going away. Let's just be real. But we can improve areas of it. So that's where the grassroots community boots on the ground. That's the importance of that. So it could be a town of 20,000 people. If they're sitting here trying to make sure that people get food and that we don't have people on the streets and that we're trying to get kids into getting their education, and we do all of these little things as a group and we actually collaborate, we've got a better chance of fixing it no matter what the political landscape is. And I think that's the most important message.
Yeah, amazing. That's where you highlighted a very important point here. I also want to touch upon that, especially like nowadays, it's the AI era, right? The technology advancement is rapidly changing. And it is, I think, creating change in every field. So what do you think it's going to impact? The question I want to ask is, basically when we talk about like nonprofit organization, that means that we want to like create impact, right? And when we want to solve problems in people's life. And what I see like these days, that of course it is like AI and the technology is helping and empowering like our human beings, but also creating a lot of problems as well. Like we see and not only like we see a lot of these like big companies or these giant like gig like Elon Musk and all these Yuval Harari, and like these people are actually talking about that, you know, these times ahead are quite scary, right? So what we see is that there's going to be more problems, right? So like if we think about that, so the future seems that there will be a lot of problems. So how you think, what are your views that do you think that there will be so many nonprofit organization or so many people who will be more driven to solve the problems, or do you think there will be more problems and there will be like more gaps? So how, what do you think, what future do you foresee?
That's a great question. To me, it's trying to figure out different regions of the world prioritization. Like really, what is the most important thing in this country here or this country over here? I know some communities that have so much plastic and trash in the waters that the water is unsafe. So do we really need to focus on something that's not as important? So what if we put all of our time and energy into taking care of that piece, of the pollution, of the plastics that are in the water that then ruin our wildlife, that do that? And so if the Elon Musks and the others that are very powerful brands, by the way, but they also have very powerful branded companies, if they could actually use their power to be able to make substantial change quickly and collaboratively, we can actually get somewhere. But if we don't get on the same page, and if we don't understand that there's some things that you and I may disagree on, but what we can't disagree on is that there's actually garbage floating in our oceans. That's just common sense. It's common sense to know that there's smog and that people litter and that kids have fallen behind because of COVID. I mean, there's things that are proven and that are very, very simple, right? Why can't we, and maybe this is a call out, why can't we as powerful CEOs and brands actually have a summit to get together to agree to actually make substantial change? Whatever the cause is. But I'm going to use the garbage in the oceans, because I was at a beach about 6 months ago, and I'm walking and I step on a piece of plastic. I'm walking again and I step on a piece of glass. And then I decided, instead of looking for shells, I'm going to actually start collecting garbage. And I found a piece of glass over here and a piece of glass over here. That is ridiculous. And so if anybody thinks that's normal, how can we fix that? And so that would be something that I think if you took all of these brands, all of these people, and they have the power and the money and the wherewithal to back up to be a change agent, why can't we do that and actually prioritize in a region to get something done?
Yeah, amazing. I really loved your advice here. And I think that brings us that maybe there should be some global drive to solve these like major issues, and maybe like all these organizations working in silos. And I think it's time to connect or to collaborate with everyone, or maybe like with more people, and solve those collective issues, which are major issues, as you mentioned, especially the garbage issues, the pollution issues. And there will be mental health issues because of the way like the world is moving in the direction. So I think like what I feel is in this scenario is there is a strong need when like leaders of the world, or at least someone, needs to be globally unite all these forces to talk about these major issues instead of like working in the silos and the community at the smaller level. So, yeah.
Ambreen, you nailed it. The siloed approach in this day and age does not work, because what's happening in Saudi Arabia or India and the United States or China, some of it's the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can put political divisiveness, you can put it to the side sometimes. And I know it's easier said than done, but why can't we look and open up, you know, our eyes to understand all this is going on and what's going to happen to our next generation? They're going to jump into oceans that are filled with garbage and all this other stuff that's going on. We can be those change makers. And so for the rest of my life, I'm going to do everything I can and push everybody that I can and be on as many of great podcasts like yours as I can to get the word out and actually step up and do more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your mission is truly inspiring. And the more I was researching this, I was just quite excited to actually talk about all this. So I know we can talk a lot about this, but the time is running out. So before we actually close the show, what one advice would you give to our audience today to create positive impact in the world?
Wake up every day and do something great. Change lives and save lives daily. I live by that motto. Every day I ask my kids, what is something you're going to do today that is great? And start being that positive change. Mentor younger people. Show them that we can be the leaders that we are as adults. I don't care what position you have or what title someone has, but as adults, be better mentors, better parents, and better adults to make our world a better place.
Wow, so amazing. I wish like if each one just live with this advice, then the world will become such a good place. So I'm sure that our audience must have learned a lot from you because I enjoyed it thoroughly. So thank you so much for sharing insights and experience. So that was great. So what is the best way anyone can reach out to you? Which I have shared your website, but are you more active on any social media platform like LinkedIn or Insta? So yeah, let our audience know that what is the best way when they can reach out to you?
You can reach out to me. The website's a great way at themattgeorge.com, but I'm also on LinkedIn and all the social media, and you can just you can Google the Nonprofit Prophet. That was one of my last books. But I've got three books out right now. And one of them called Starfish Among Us is about taking care of the community from a kid's point of view. I have 25 life lessons in that book for kids. And so it's something that I take a lot of pride in.
Actually, I just want to know before I actually close the show, you brought it like the 25 lesson about the kids, because I feel that the younger generation needs to be trained well. So I would want you to actually talk a little bit about it. What exactly are the lessons that we can actually teach to the younger generation?
Well, a lot of times people say, don't do drugs, don't do alcohol. Those are the obvious. But here's some things that you can do. Maybe you should actually care about the person next to you. Maybe we should understand that you don't just have to open doors for adults, that you can open doors for everybody and actually make somebody's day. Maybe you could get off your phone and stop texting all the time and look up and say hi to somebody. Maybe you can sit there and actually, when someone is down or someone is having a hard day, maybe you can put your arm around that person and say, is there anything I can do for you? I got you. And those are the simple things. I talk about, you know, I'm seeing it all over the world. People are vaping. Do we really need kids to be vaping? I see so many different things. And littering is one of my biggest pet peeves. And it starts young. Don't litter. So those are all the things that I talk about in school. And yeah. I love talking to kids.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. I know this topic is quite interesting, so we can go on and on.
We could go on.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing these valuable insights. Your advice are so amazing. Thank you for joining us. I'm sure audience has learned a lot. I didn't get any comments here. I don't know, some problem with the, I guess, StreamYard or something that I didn't get it. But I will go and check all the comments afterwards and reply to all that. So thanks to all the audience who have joined today. And I will see all those comments later on and reply to that. So thank you so much and have a great day.
I loved it. Thank you.